And welcome back to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis, and there's more important information coming up, so please keep that pencil and recycled paper handy. And now let's get right on into this week's commentary. Read it, Jason.
All right. This week's commentary was written by Jack Brown of Mother Jones Magazine in the September-October 2001 issue. And you know what it is? Top 10 Activist Campuses. Giving it the old college outcry. And I had to adjust it to the top 11 activist campuses as I go with my number one activist campus, University of California, Santa Cruz. In 1974, students and professors founded the Women's Studies Program, one of the nation's oldest. It was so inspiring and empowering, says Tracy Leah Lawson, a 79 graduate who publishes a feminist newspaper in Santa Cruz. We ran the program. Professors at UCSC taught rape prevention and women's self-defense long before the subjects were in vogue. Some more schools. Here's a little more information about it. I got a little carried away with UC Santa Cruz and a little locale. Since students at the University of Wisconsin protested the presence of napalm manufacturer Dow Chemical on their campus in 1967, college students have been fighting the corporate world's creep into the academy. During the last school year, activists on many campuses sought to put their university's academic mission ahead of corporate partnerships. The flawed presidential election, campus race relations, and poverty wages for university employees also raised student ire. Here are 2001 ranking of the best of student activism. Here we go. They've got Yale University up here on the top. Student protesters forced Yale and its business partner Bristol-Myers Squibb to relax the patent on Xeret, an AIDS drug developed by Yale scientists that brought Bristol-Myers $618 million in profits last year. The students collaborated with Doctors Without Borders in an attempt to shame the university into making the drug cheaply available in Africa. It worked. Yale and BMS announced in March that they would allow companies to produce a generic version of the drug royalty-free. Awesome. Pfizer College. When the Seven College Claremont Consortium in California announced it wanted to build a new biotech campus, promising industry backers broad influence over the curriculum, students at Pfizer took to the streets. They spent the summer of 2000 collecting thousands of signatures to force a public referendum on the plan. University officials shelved the proposal temporarily, but protests continued throughout the school year. At a March sit-in, students chained themselves to garbage cans filled with concrete. 10 were arrested and removed with the aid of forklifts. All right, Pfizer. Pennsylvania State University. Race relations at Penn State, where African Americans make up only 4% of the student body, were stretched to a breaking point by a series of anonymous death threats aimed at black students. In April, hundreds of protesters took over the student union to demand that the administration address the climate of racial intolerance. The sit-in ended 10 days later when the school's president promised to establish an African Studies Research Center and create $350,000 in new minority scholarships. Harvard University. The 46 students who staged a three-week occupation of the president's office in May succeeded in training a national spotlight on the low wages the nation's wealthiest university pays its custodial and food service workers. The protests, which stirred debate about the living wage movement in media as diverse as Fox News, Business Week, and The Nation, ended when Harvard promised to pay food service workers at least $10.32 an hour, although other employees will continue to make considerably less. Still working it one step at a time. Here, a fifth one here, Howard University. After fellow student Prince Jones Jr. was shot 5 times and killed last fall by an undercover officer from Prince George's County, Maryland, in a case of mistaken identity, they shot him. Whoa. More than 200 Howard students marched on the United States Department of Justice. Their outcry caught the attention of Vice President Al Gore, who interrupted a campaign speech at Howard to speak out against Jones' killing and prompted a federal investigation on the use of lethal force by the Prince George's police departments. Those undercovers are assholes. Number 6, University of Michigan. As we reported last year, Michigan joined the Workers' Rights Consortium, which polices the labor practices of university apparel licenses. The move initially prompted Nike to pull out of licensing negotiations with the school, but in January this year, Nike agreed to reforms and signed a 7-year pact. Just weeks later, however, a consortium audit found Nike was continuing to do business with the Mexican factory that had fired striking workers. That's the Kung Dong factory down south. I've got a lot of things on there. It's another little thing. Kung Dong, that's it. Thanks to student pressure, Nike agreed in February to push the factory owners to improve working conditions and reinstate workers. Number 7, Florida A&M University. Students at this predominantly African-American school in Tallahassee were outraged at the disproportionate number of black voters disenfranchised in the 2000 presidential election. On November 10th, one day into the recount, some 800 Aggies occupied 3 floors of the state capitol, demanding and later winning a meeting with Florida Secretary of State Catherine Harris. Nice. Sometimes just staying there and not going anywhere does it. Oberlin College, last November, 110 Oberlin students journeyed 818 miles from their Ohio campus to Fort Benning, Georgia, to demand that the Army close the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation. The institute, known until last year as the School of Americas, has a dark history, having trained many Latin American military officers later tried to human rights atrocities. Number nine, University of California, Los Angeles. In March, 1,000 UCLA students rallied to demand that the UC system reinstate affirmative action, which has been banned since 96. The students stormed Royce Hall and forced the cancellation of a televised debate among LA mayoral candidates, several of whom stayed to join in the protest. And our 10th one here, the University of Wisconsin. The Badgers stand out for their commitment to EcoPledge, an organization that attempts to persuade corporations to be more environmentally conscious. The 9,000 UW EcoPledge signers, more than a fifth of the student body, have vowed not to work for or purchase from the likes of Boise Cascade, Disney, or Daimler Chrysler until they improve their environmental records. All right, and that was a commentary, the Top 10 Activist Campuses by Mother Jones. Back to you, Dennis.
Thanks, Jason. Moving south of the border, there's an action alert. Stop the slaughter of sea turtles in Baja, California. Between 8 and 30,000 endangered loggerhead and Pacific green sea turtles are killed each year. Despite a presidential ban on the harvest of sea turtles in 1990, these animals continue to face extinction, according to Homer Arigi, president of the Group of 100 in Mexico. Today, turtles still lumber out of the emerald waters of Mexico's Pacific coast to lay their eggs on the ivory-white sand beaches, as they have done for eons. Thousands of these Pacific sea turtles, representing 5 separate species, also spend a good part of their lives swimming the coasts of Baja California, feeding on the rich coastal estuaries and lagoons. But unfortunately, for many thousands of these turtles, foraging along the coast of Baja ends up being their last supper, because a sea turtle slaughter is occurring that is costing the lives of anywhere from 8 to 30,000 ancient mariners each and every year. This is possibly the largest sea turtle slaughter occurring anywhere in the world today. Scientists studying these populations have found that these turtles that come to Baja are not necessarily Mexican turtles. For example, the loggerhead turtles are being killed nest in faraway Japan, and at least some of the leatherbacks may nest in Indonesia. What is occurring in Baja California is an international outrage, and the turtles from these various regions are in deep trouble. For example, Japanese nesting loggerhead populations have declined by 50% in the last 10 years, and the unique population of Pacific green, also known as black sea turtles, that nest in the Mexican state of Michoacán have plummeted by almost 90%, from 1,300 in 1990 to 145 last year, despite 20 years of vigorous protection at the nesting beach. But things may be changing in Mexico. With your help, we can turn this situation around and gain permanent protection for this critically important region. What can you do? send a letter to Mexican President Vicente Fox asking that he crack down on sea turtle poaching in Baja California and that he declare a National Marine Reserve for sea turtles to protect Baja's amazing marine diversity. And Uncle Dennis encourages you to do so. Having sailed those waters, I know of which this is. Here is the address to send mail to. Address your letter to President Vicente Fox, V-I-C-E-N-T-E, Fox, care of Embassy of Mexico, 1911 Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C., 20006. That address again, President Vicente Fox, care of Embassy of Mexico, 1911 Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C., 20006. If you'd like to send email, you can send that to V. Lichtinger, that's V-L-I-C-H-T-I-N-G-E-R, at Semarnat, S-E-M-A-R-N-A-T, .gov.mx. I'll read that email address once again. V. Lichtinger, V-L-I-C-H-T-I-N-G-E-R, at Semarnat, S-E-M-A-R-N-A-T, .gov.mx. And, you'll be sending that email via Mexico's Secretary of the Environment and Natural Resources, Victor Lichtinger. Remember, personalized notes and paper mail carry more weight than email and thus do more to save turtles. And you can also send email through a website, www.seaturtles.org. That's www.seaturtles.org. And if you'd like for more information, you can visit that webpage or contact the Sea Turtle Restoration Project. Their phone number, 415-488-0370. That's 415-488-0370.
All right, I'll spin this off for you. From the other side of the planet, this is Earth First United Kingdom. Their website is www.eco-action.org. Reclaim Life, title of this story here. Anti-genetics campaigners and disabled activists converged on the multi-million pound genetics showcase, the International Center for Life, ICOF, on Saturday the 27th of May in Newcastle. The protest coincided with the opening of the Life Interactive World Visitor Center. Media reports before the day warned of infiltration by violent anarchists, and in most cases gave more coverage to the concerns of protesters than the Center for Life. That's why they're protesting. The police and security were out in force and briefly prevented the funeral march marking the death of human and biodiversity entering the square, until they were sure the coffin was empty. Wow. The opening ceremony was a pathetic sight, attended by about 50 people, including Carol. "It's the best science expedition I've ever seen," Vorman, who was met by her clones branding the ICFL Frankenstein's Castle. Others were dressed in Gestapo uniforms, highlighting the links between Nazi-style eugenics and human genetic engineering. A small number of visitors continued to trickle in throughout the day and were handed leaflets presenting an alternative perspective on the center's activities. In the square outside the theme park, demonstrators played football and a giant game of snakes and ladders to show there is more to life than reductionist science and big business. Based on the poor turnout of visitors on its overhyped opening day, it seems very likely that the life attraction will fail on its own terms. If similar public wastes of money such as the dome are anything to go by. Some of the visitors leaving the center told protesters it was a total waste of time and a pound. Leafletting outside the center will continue over the coming weeks. For more detailed critique of the Center for Life, which goes beyond media soundbites, get a copy of Gene Noe's booklet, International Center for Lies. Available from Gino, score a pen if you got one, Post Office Box 1TA, that's 1 Tyler Alpha, Northeast 99, 1TA, I guess United Kingdom. And their email, a little easier, that's Gino99 at Yahoo, that's G-E-N-E. N-O-99 at yahoo.com. And that was from the Earth First United Kingdom Eco Action. Ow!
All right, and comments are needed on an Oregon timber sale. The Barlow District of the Mount Hood National Forest has announced it is seeking comments on its proposed junk rock timber sale. I think that's what all those timber sales are. Initial scouts of the sale indicate that the Forest Service is planning on logging old growth and much of what's left in the remaining mature forest in the sale area. Visit www.bark-out.org/sale_junkrock, that's junckrock.html, for the Forest Service's letter requesting comments and updated unit map and photos. At this early stage of the sale, we don't have specific written plan called an environmental assessment or EA yet. Rather, the Forest Service is soliciting comments that will determine which issues they need to cover in the EA. Here's some details about that timber harvest plan. The junk rock plan includes 562 acres of logging, 15 acres of logging in riparian reserves along streams, about a half a mile of new roads, a mile and a quarter of new road construction, reconstruction that is, 9.85 miles of road closures, half a mile of road decommissioning, and this timber sale is located at Range 10 East, Township 5 South, sections 4 through 10, 17 and 18. Comments should be sent to Paul Bryant, Ranger District, 780 Northeast Court Street, Dufour, Oregon. That's D-U-F-U-R, 97021. Once again, that's Paul Bryant, District Ranger, 780 Northeast Court Street, Dufour, Oregon, 97021. And if you're planning on a field trip to Junk Rock, call BARC for more details. Their number, 503-331-0374. That's 503-331-0374. Or visit their website. Once again, that's www.bark-out.org. What do you got there, Jason?
All right. If you're going to be in Humboldt about November 2nd, you're really going to dig this gathering. It's a Joan Rand benefit for Barry versus FBI lawsuits on Friday, November 2nd. Alrighty. Environmentally Sound Promotions presents Joan Rand, the North Coast's premier eco-spiritual troubadour, in a benefit concert for the Judy Barr lawsuit against the FBI. That's still on continuance. This show will take place on Friday, November 2nd, at Beginnings in Bryceland. That's in California, in Humboldt County, at 7:30. A sliding scale admission will be requested. Food will be served. Also appearing on this evening of song and information will be attorney Dennis Cunningham, lead counsel for the lawsuit, who will give a legal update on the case. Daryl Cherney will also be on hand to sing a few songs and offer an update on the investigation of who bombed Judy Barr.
Headwaters. That's Judy Barry.
I can't see out my right eye sometimes. Headwaters Forest Campaign founder Greg King, that's not Greg Kinn, that's Greg King, will be there also. Please call 923-4949. I'm guessing that's in the 707 area code.
You're right.
All right, 923-4949 for information or to volunteer. We always need help. For the Environmentally Sound Promotions, Music, Arts, and Media for the Earth, their address is as follows. Post Office Box, 2254, Redway, California, 95560. That's Post Office Box, 2254, Redway, R-E-D-W-A-Y, California, 95560.
Coming up in the San Francisco Bay Area is a class on wilderness first aid. It's going to take place Tuesday, November 6th from 6 to 10 p.m. and on the weekend of November 10th and 11th from 8 to 5 p.m. This is a 20-hour class for anyone who wants to learn how to handle emergency medical situations in the backcountry. Covers basic wilderness first aid topics, patient assessment, shock and bleeding, head and spinal injuries, wounds, heat and cold illnesses, and much more. Adult cardiopulmonary resuscitation and wilderness first aid certification from the American Health and Safety Institute and the Outdoors Unlimited are available after successful completion of the course and wilderness exam. If you want the Wilderness First Aid, that'll be $110. If you want it with CPR, it's $120. Once again, this is taking place Tuesday, November 6th from 6 to 10, and November 10th and 11th, both days from 8 to 5. For more information, call 415-788-3666. That's 415-788-3666, and dial extension 126 or 127.
Alrighty, here's two great events coming up in November, from the 7th to the 11th, happening in Montana and also Arizona. Here's the first one. 4th Annual Natural Resources Laws Conference, November 7th through the 9th. American Wildlands will bring together activists and attorneys at the 4th Annual Resources Laws Conference, entitled Still Alive in 2005. Forests, Fish, Water, and Wildlife. Held in Chico Hot Springs, Montana, the conference will tackle a variety of issues and focus on ways in which activists can use the Clean Water Act of the Endangered Species Act, the Endangered Species Act, the National Forest Management Act, and other laws and regulations to ensure that the biodiversity and quality of habitat in this region, both aquatic and terrestrial, is preserved and protected. Mwah. For more information, contact Deb Kamon, that's K-M-O-N, Kim Davids, and Chris Mulvey. Their phone number is as follows, area code 406-586-8175. That's 406-586-8175, or email at mwild, A-M-W-I-L-D, at wildlands.org. That's A-M-W-I-L-D at wildlands.org. And that's also their website, www.wildlands.org. And the second event is RangeNet 2001, A Grazing Odyssey. This is happening at Arizona State University in Tempe. It's November 10th and 11th, 2001. This conference in Arizona will discuss ecological impacts of public lands grazing, grazing activism at the local level, and national public lands grazing campaigns. See www.rangenet, RANGENET.org/RN2001. That's RangeNet, RANGENET.org/RN2001/, for registration and additional information. Go for it.
Thank you, Jason. Just to bring you up to date on Walkin' Jim Stoltz's fall tour schedule, October 30th, he'll be at the Guy K. Stump Elementary School in Stewart's Draft, Virginia. On the 31st, at the Christiansburg Elementary School in Christiansburg, Virginia. On November 1st, Walkin' Jim will be at the Brownsville School in Cosette, Virginia. And on November 2nd, he'll be in Richmond, Virginia at St. Mark's Church at 7:30 in the evening for a show benefiting the Richmond, Virginia Audubon Society group there. And that's about all the time we have for news and announcements this week. To get news or announcements for your bioregion to Earth First Radio, send us email at cruzeef@cruzeio.com. That's C-R-U-Z-E-F. At cruzio.com, cruzeef@cruzeio.com, or you can send letters to Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California 95061. Once again, that's Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California 95061. And be sure to send all those announcements at least 3 weeks in advance so we can get them on in a timely manner. If you want more in-depth news and information about the Earth First Movement, please subscribe to the Earth First Journal. Their address is P.O. Box 3023, Tucson, Arizona 85702. That's Earth First Journal, P.O. Box 3023, Tucson, Arizona 85702. You can listen to Earth First Radio live on your computer every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Pacific Time. Go to the website www.microradio.net/FRSC. That's microradio.net/FRSC. And listen in. There's lots of great shows on Free Radio Santa Cruz, so listen anytime. You can always find Earth First Radio archived shows on the World Wide Web at www.radioforall.net. That's radio, the number 4all.net, and search for Earth First Radio. This is show number 163. Earth First Radio is carried on a growing number of free speech and non-commercial radio stations. Please ask your local station to rebroadcast Earth First Radio. Earth First Radio is produced in the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, and I want to thank Jason for helping out tonight.
Woo!
Our theme music was written and performed by Daryl Cherney from the CD Keep It Wild. I'm Uncle Dennis, and thank you for listening to Earth First Radio. And now, we're going to listen to Casey Neal. This one's called The Power Is Turning.
Serpent's eye. The power is turning. The power is turning. Rogue spirits are waiting, anticipating. Voices long forgotten again will awaken. The fire in the eye of the ego, deep and regal. No voice rivals the song of the past. At last, at last, at last, the power is turning. The wild sea is burning. Watch as it comes alive. A world is emerging. See it in the gleam of the serpent's eye. The power is turning. The power is turning. This is not the end of the world, it is only the beginning. An awakening, a reckoning, the nameless is returning. Rising from the western ocean, shining off the sea. Carried by a magic wind, alive again, alive again. The power is turning, the wild sea is burning. Watch as it comes alive. A world is emerging. See it in the gleam of the serpent's eye. The power is turning. The power is turning. The power.